You know, it seems like a different world ago, but I began saying on March the 1st of this year that we were headed for the most contentious election season of our lifetimes. There are skilled professionals under the employ of both political parties who know from study and from experience that anger and fear and contempt are the emotions that are most likely to cause people to get out and vote. And it's working. According to USA Today this week, 70% of American adults say that the election is a significant source of stress in their lives. According to the Wall Street Journal, just a little north of 70% of Americans say that they are deeply concerned about the direction of our country if the candidate that they are not voting for were to win the office. Both sides seem to feel that way. Of course, it's not just the election, is it? The New York Times reports that 39% of Americans are under significant financial stress because of the events of 2020. They define significant financial stress as the inability to meet an unexpected expense of $250 or more without going into debt. And we crossed a threshold this week of 218,000 Americans that have died from this contagious virus. We're in a pandemic the likes of which our nation hadn't seen for 100 years. It's an anxious time. And the temptation is to let the headlines dictate our headspace. But there is a peace that passes understanding available to all of us. We've been walking through the Lord's Prayer together, and the culminating petition of the Lord's Prayer carries in it the ultimate promise of our faith and the utmost call of God upon our lives. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you turn there with us to Matthew chapter 6? We'll hear the prayer together beginning in verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse 9, and there the scripture says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the word of the Lord. I'm limited on time today, so let me just assert, you do not have to pray to God and ask God, "Please don't put me in a place where I'm going to be tempted to the point of destruction." You do not have to ask God to not act like the devil. Instead, what's happening in this culminating petition of the Lord's Prayer, like so much else in this prayer, is grounded in the life and ministry of Jesus himself. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus admonished his disciples, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." That was more than just counsel against some nondescript temptation into which any one of us might fall. In that garden, Jesus came face to face with the moment toward which his entire life had been building, face to face with that moment which is the reason that he came for us. And he warned his disciples against going into the kind of temptation that we cannot face, but which he himself faced for us. And in that moment of darkness, in that moment before Jesus' trial and our deliverance, Jesus alone was capable of or qualified to face that moment. So we are supposed to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to be delivered from evil. Do you remember? "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But the answer that came to Jesus was no. If the answer for us about deliverance is ever to be yes, then it had to be no for him. And so thanks be to God that Jesus also prayed, "Yet not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead and ascended into glory in order to forgive our sins and to take his place as the King of the world. Jesus delivered us from evil. And to help us remember what he has already done, Jesus taught us to remember humbly his sacrifice and to pray diligently for our deliverance, because Jesus knew the reality of evil and the power of evil. And Jesus also knew the greater power of love to overcome evil. Evil is live spelled backwards. Evil is the desire to unmake the creation, to undo what God is making in the world, to fight against God in the world. And only love can overcome evil without itself becoming evil. And the cross of Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression of the love of God. So when we look into the cross, we see both the pain of evil and the victory of love. And we remember that Jesus was indeed led into temptation, that he has indeed delivered us from evil. That is what the cross means. To pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is to pray in the face of the cross. To offer this petition is to locate our own lives in the life and ministry of Jesus. It is to recognize that this world can be more like a battleground than a playground. And it is to know that Jesus has overcome the world. It is to declare that it was only through the death of Jesus at the hands of evil that we have been delivered. And knowing that makes all the difference in the world in our lives. I had a conversation 2 weeks ago with Wayman Worsham. It's a conversation that I have had hundreds of times. Wayman was in hospice, and I needed to have a conversation with him as his pastor. I know Wayman well enough that I thought I knew what he was going to say, and I've been a pastor long enough to know that he needed to say some things out loud. And so I sat down with him, and I said, "Wayman, do you have faith in Christ to carry you into eternal life?" "Yes." "Wayman, have you said to the people who are closest to you in the world, 'I love you, and I'm sorry for the things that I have done that hurt you, and you have my blessing. I think the world is better with you in it.'" "Yes." "Do you know that you're not leaving the people you love in a mess? That you have lived your life for the kingdom in a way that has set them up to receive your blessing and God's blessing?" "Yes." "It's been my discovery that people who know those three things are true die with a greater degree of peace." Wayman was diagnosed with cancer about 4 years ago, and he's been undergoing a treatment that's held the cancer at bay, but pretty recently the tests indicated the cancer was spreading. And the only treatment was surgery. And Wayman Worsham, at 87 years old, said, "My body's worn out, and I know where I am going next. No more treatment." It is only we who are in Christ and who hold fast to his promise of eternal life that can make that kind of decision with peace and with confidence. It is only we who are in Christ who can do that, because we know that we have already been delivered. Look, since Jesus has overcome sin and death, since he's overcome the world and won a victory through the cross, since he has secured eternal life for you, since he has delivered you from evil, can't you trust him with this week? With that worry? With whatever it is that comes up in the dailiness of life when ultimate victory has already been secured? Can't we claim proximate peace? Will you receive the peace of Christ while the world is in turmoil? Will you bear witness to Christ to a world that needs a Savior? Will you let the cross of Christ determine your character and your convictions and your comportment rather than letting the headlines dictate your headspace? Whatever happens this week or any week, Jesus has overcome the world and he has delivered us from evil, and so we can live in peace, his peace. Not as the world gives peace, but his peace he gives to us. That was his promise to us. And when we pray in the face of the cross, we not only receive his peace, we hear his call to be peacemakers. When we pray in the face of the cross, we have to be ready to bear our own crosses as well. Well, there is a cross that only Jesus can bear. There is a temptation and a testing which only he can endure, and we are well to not try to do that. You don't have to save the world. But because you have been delivered, because you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, there's a call that is unique to your life. Jesus is calling you to be his presence in the world, and especially in times of anxiety. Missy's dad used to say that because we have faith in Christ, we should live our lives with an attitude of gratitude. We should say every day, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I will be who you want me to be. We should share the victory of the cross. We must bear witness to the cross in the world, and we must minister to those who are suffering in the world. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we're admitting evil is real and evil is powerful. We would be foolish to not say that. And we're admitting that evil's not just out there in the world. There's also evil inside of us. If you don't know that there's an evil side of you, you're living in denial. We needed saving. We needed delivering. We admit that evil is real in the world, and we confess that love is real. And love is greater than evil, that love is more powerful than evil, that love has won the victory which overcomes the world. We declare that Jesus has overcome the world, and through his death and resurrection and ascension, he has become the king of the world. So when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are inhaling the victory of the cross and exhaling God's peace. And we are committing to live as witnesses to that victory, as servants of the gospel, as ministers of grace, because we're citizens of a new kingdom and we're servants of the great King. And so, as Christ our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.